Blog Talk Radio.
Already been taught. So
there and just break bread with us and hey, enjoy yourself. Amen. All right. And also, want to ask that you continue to lift us up in prayer here at this ministry and what we're doing for the kingdom. If you're being blessed, prayerfully consider a love offering of any amount through the GoFundMe account, which is on my page. You can see the link at the GoFundMe account. And pray about it, see what the Lord puts in your heart, and donate as you will. Amen. All right. What are we advertising? Because, friends, we must know this. Every Christian is advertising something or someone. Every person is advertising something or someone, whether it be their self, whether it be they're trying to advertise something or market something about themselves. They're trying to market something. What are we as Christians marketing? Not that we really can call it, it's not a marketing game. We're not trying to get anybody to buy anything. We want them to follow Jesus. That's the most important thing, is that we represent Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Every Christian, whether they realize it or not, is consistently or continually performing an advertisement. They are in the middle of a performance or a demonstration of a product which is not sold, but given away free of charge to all who will accept it by faith, salvation, which is also known as the water of life and the living water. In Revelation 21:6, he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. We also read in Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that hear say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. God is inviting people to come every single day. We are His representation. If we're walking in the Spirit, if we're walking in obedience and righteousness, if we are lifting up the name above all names, if we're making it a point that everywhere we go, we're going to let our light shine, friends, we are the vessel that He uses to advertise. Now, if we're walking in our flesh and in carnality, and we have a Sunday morning only type attitude about our Christianity, then that's the type of Christian you're going to be, one that just represents on Sundays only, which means that you're really not a Christian. I like the way Dr. Tony Evans says that these are called SOMOs, Sunday only morning Christians. They only come to church and they put on their Sunday best, but their life is a mess through the rest of the week. We have to ask ourselves, who do we represent? Are we on display Monday through Saturday, Monday through Sunday, or Monday through Tuesday? Or who are we really? When we're honest with ourselves, we can do a self-examination of ourselves and be able to rightly assess who we are and what we represent. Either we are representing the King of Glory 24/7 or as much as possible. I'm not talking about sinless perfection, but there's a daily attitude that we will put Jesus Christ first in our life. From the time we get up to the time we go to bed, that should be our attitude and what we strive to do. He tells us in Isaiah 12:2-3, and whosoever will let him take the water of life freely. Also, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. We also read in John 4:6-14. Turn there, and I'm going to read out of the ESV version, because it's a very important passage, what Jesus was saying to the woman at the well. Amen. 646-668-8468. Call in and listen in through Blog Talk Radio right now. Verse 6-14. But for context, let me go ahead and read the whole chapter. or down 2:14, Jesus tells us, he says, after this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd and crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with the disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming, Jesus said unto Philip, "Where are we to buy?" They were coming toward him. Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that those people may eat?" He said, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not be enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Oh, you know what? I am so sorry. I jumped to another chapter. I know I was off here. I thought I was reading chapter 4. I'm sorry. Let me go back here. Verse 6 through 14. Chapter 4, verse 6 through 14. He tells us here, he says, Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the 6th hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. When his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food, the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealing with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that was saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and you would have given you living water. The woman said, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well to drink from itself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We see here, friends, how Jesus was that living water. We also read again, he tells us, he says, this, of course, Jesus was tired. He had been on this long journey. He had been doing ministry. When he told this woman to give him drink, she's thinking of the H2O. But Jesus was talking to her about spiritual drink, something that once she drank of him and was understanding the words which were the living water. He was the bread of life, also known. But this time he's pointing out how important it was for the living water, for her to drink of him. His words were water. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. The Samaritan woman said, how is it that being a Jew, you're asking me for a drink? See, there was some form of racism even back then, because Samaritans were half Jews and half Gentiles, and it wasn't common for them to talk to one another, because they were considered half-breeds, and, you know, there was some bigotry going on between Samaritans and the Jews. But see, that's why Christ came, to bridge that gap between people of different ethnicities and things like that. There is no racism in heaven. There will be no racism in heaven. Might be some down here, but for the believer, friends, we need to change our attitude and our mind when it comes to how we deal with other people of different races and different ethnicity. Just because one group of people act a fool doesn't mean that we should be acting that way. We are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We're to be on advertisement for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we put Jesus on display, friends, when we advertise him, we should be advertising love. Love. If people see us out here fighting and warring against one another, what are they going to say? And you Christians ain't no different than everybody else. We need to set the tone for any kind of bigotry. There is no racism in churches. There is no white church or black church or Mexican church. That is nothing but from the pit of hell. When we identify ourselves as that, we basically set up walls, and God is there to tear down the walls, and he wants to do it using the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love the fact of my fellowship because there's a multiple rainbow of different people there. Yeah, the pastor is Caucasian, but I don't see him as Caucasian. I see him as a brother in the Lord. And the brothers that I fellowship with, the sisters that I fellowship with, of all nationalities, they love the Lord. And that's what we should do. We should have a love for the Lord and love for one another. Otherwise, don't call yourself a Christian if you got any kind of bigotry in your heart. When Jesus was wearied, in verse 6, we see that he was wearied as he was from his journey. Since the word became flesh, in chapter 1, verse 14, he also suffered from physical limitations in his humanity. Yes, he was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. He suffered the same kind of afflictions, and he felt the same kind of pains that we feel. And he got tired, and he got hungry. We see that happening. This woman, this Samaritan, came to draw water. Women generally came in groups to collect water, either early or later in the day, to avoid the sun's heat. If the Samaritan woman alone came at 12 p.m., this may indicate that her public shame in verses 16 through 19 caused her to be isolated from other women. Remember, she was a woman who was living with a man who was not her husband. She was living in a fornicated state of a lifestyle, and Jesus exposes it. Because he tells her, go and get your husband. And she said, I have none. And he said, you say correctly because you've had five husbands, but the one you're living with now is not your husband. So he was exposing her sin. Not so to shame her in the sense of that he wanted to condemn her, but no, he wanted her to acknowledge of her sin, that she could be forgiven of her sin. Remember, friends, Jesus Christ always has our best interests. We must have the right attitude to receive what he's trying to tell us. When a brother or sister come and approach us and we're in sin, we shouldn't get mad. We should appreciate the love that they shared to us, the love that they showed us, because they did it so that we could get back on track. Look, if I saw my brother over there shooting up heroin and I don't knock that needle out of his hand and say, come on, man. And you think you're going to kill yourself? I don't love him. Me sitting there talking about, well, you know, I better just mind my own business, you know. You know, he ain't hurting nobody. He hurting himself. He killing himself. If I saw my sister out there smoking crack and selling herself out there on the corner, what am I supposed to do but just say, well, at least I know what corner she on. No, friend, if I love her, I'm going to try to get her some help. I'm going to try to get her in a program. But most importantly, I'm going to try to get her the living water, because that's where the love is. When programs only going to go so far. She needs that living water. He needs that living water, because the living water can set the soul free, and it can give that thirsty soul peace, and it can fill them. It can quench the thirst that no man can quench. No human being can quench. Only Jesus Christ. We see this, Jesus asked for a drink. For a Jewish man to speak to a woman in public, let alone to ask her for a Samaritan for a drink, was defined a breach of a rigid social custom, as well as marked departure from social animosity that existed between two groups. Further, a rabbi and religious leader did not hold conversations with women of ill repute. In other words, this woman was not only a Samaritan, which was a half-breed, but she was living in sin, so a rabbi would not have spoken to her. But see, the great I Am, friends, he'll talk to the filthiest, lowest dogs out there on the street. You know why? Because everybody, there's still hope for somebody out there. There's still hope for somebody that where the world might have thrown them away. Jesus says, I can raise them up. What may be trash today will be treasure tomorrow. I was one of them. I used to be one of those filthy, and God raised me up. So I'm telling you that God can work a miracle in a thirsty soul. He can work a miracle. Some of you may have been out there. Maybe your past was something you don't even like talking about, but that's okay. God took your past and made it a gift. Now you can speak words of life and healing into people that are hurting out there. See, God will take the filthy things of the world. Those of us who used to be out there in that pig pen, he'll take us and raise us up. For what? So that we can speak life into somebody because we can relate to them. I had a brother that called me 2 weeks ago. And he just, you know, he was like, man, you know, I heard you what you said about, you know, you had struggled with sexual immorality and you was out there and stuff. I said, yeah, bro, I've been there. Yes, I was filthy. I picked up prostitutes. I cheated. I did all of those things. But God, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd still be out in that pig pen. Because just like a crackhead, just like an alcoholic, I was a slave to my flesh, and I was in my mess. But God came and raised me up. He came and raised me up and set me free. And see, a lot of times people say, well, how can you be a slave to sin? Sexual sin, easy. You can be a slave to anything. You can be a slave to watching too much TV. You sit there in front of it all night long and let it be your idol or your God. You might think, well, I'm not harming nobody. No, but you're not feeding your man, your spirit man either. And God wants to feed us. He wants to feed us. How is it that though a Jew asking for a drink or asked him for a drink, which he was this woman that he wasn't even supposed to be speaking to because this was just out of order. For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is, to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. He said unto the woman said unto him, sir, thou dost not have anything to draw with, and the well is deep, from whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Well, she's asking a lot of questions because she wants to know, what is he talking about? How is he going to get this water to her? Because she's thinking in the natural and Jesus is speaking spiritual things. See, a lot of times the Lord is speaking to us in spiritual terms and we're listening with the natural ear. And this is where we have to be. What are we advertising? Because, see, if we're walking in the Spirit, we're going to be displaying spiritual things and a spiritual attitude and a spiritual conduct, and God can be represented when we're on display. This is the holiness of God working through us and shining out towards the world. We also see here, he tells her, he says, in verse 10, he tells us about this living water. The Old Testament is the background of this term, which is important metaphorical significance. In Jeremiah 2:13, Yahweh decries the disobedient Jews for rejecting him, the fountain of living water. The Old Testament prophets looked forward to a time when living water will flow out of Jerusalem, Ezekiel 47:9, Zechariah 14:8. The Old Testament metaphor spoke of the knowledge of God and his grace, which provides cleansing, spiritual life, and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. So we see here that anytime the water, when he was mentioning this water, he was talking about something supernatural, friends. And when you and I have experienced, those of us who have experienced this living water, people could tell you, you know, especially when you got on fire for the Lord and you started to proclaim God's goodness and you started to tell them about Jesus Christ and having a personal relationship with them, and your friends think you're crazy, and they say, man, well, I remember when you used to do such and such, such and such, or they might tell you, sisters, oh, you think you're holier than now. No, God has made me a new creation. I'm just representing him. I'm putting him on display. I'm advertising my Lord and Savior. Is that a bad thing? Because everybody wants the benefits of being a Christian. Very few want to live the Christian life. They don't want to let God's light shine through them where they will be seen to see, oh, you're too religious. No, I'm just righteous because he cleansed me. He made me a new creation. And he told me to go ye therefore and make disciples. How can I make disciples if I'm still living as a dirtbag? I want to live the way he wanted me to live. He saved me to live a righteous life. He saved me to live a holy life. I'm only putting him on display. I'm only putting him on display. All products require good advertisement in order to be successful. Producers pay high wages for good advertising. So does God. The world has many different sources for their advertisement. The main ones are television, radio, newspaper, magazines, and representatives who usually give demonstrations of their products. God's main source of advertisement is his representatives or his children, who should continually be performing and demonstrating a demonstration which they become better at with experience. Look, the more you and I are growing in the grace and knowledge, the more you and I are getting into the Word of God and getting the Word of God in our spirit, man, and the Spirit of God is building us up in our most holy faith, the more we advertise Christ and the less Daryl Kendrick is going to be on display. Because, see, when Daryl is in the flesh, Daryl is a mess. But when Daryl is letting Christ shine through him, then the light of God is shining, and you can witness to people, and the power of God is going before you. I was in 7-Eleven tonight. Me and my fiance had just eaten, and we had stopped at 7-Eleven, and this sister was looking for something in there, and she jumped out of line, and then she came back and got behind me. I said, "Lady, get on in it up here. You was up here." She said, "Oh, I didn't want to cut in front of you." I said, no, you good, you good. And then after that, I said, "Hey, I'd like to invite you. I don't know if you have a fellowship to go to, but I want to invite you to Core Church. And here's my card. You can listen to me on the podcast, and you can listen to me on live stream. And this is what we do. This is how we put Christ on display, showing acts of kindness and then showing God. You want to show Christ in your life. If I'm in there cursing and talking about women and doing all this, talking derogatory, and I'm bringing down, everything's coming out of my mouth, it's filthy and perverted, Christ can't be seen in that. And then you try to hand out a card. Hey, won't you come out to my church or come fellowship with us? And they say, with that foul mouth, with all that poison coming out of your mouth, they want no part of that. But when we let kindness come, remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. If I'm walking as he called me to walk, then Christ is on display. He's being advertised. He's the representation of my soul. Hallelujah. He says, who should continually... Who should continue? There are far too few people who want to perform attractive demonstrations. And without seeing good advertising, no one will desire God's product. In Matthew 9:37 tells us, then said the Lord unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Oh, friends, there's a lot of folks out here, they're advertising, friends, but they're doing a bad job, a horrible job in advertising the King of Glory. The harvest is so plenteous. It's plenty of people that need to see Jesus Christ. at the laborers. Those of us who are saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Spirit. And I don't just say that as a cliche, as a lot of folks go around saying, I'm saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost. See, that's just a cliche to some people. Because when what's coming out their mouth is anything but holy. But when we truly are putting Christ on display, friends, and not just on Sunday, but wherever we go, when we leave our house, we want to make sure that Christ is with us. When we go into the supermarket, Christ is with us. When we're in our cars, Christ is with us. If you're on the bus, Christ is with you. When the world is acting cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, we acting like Jesus Christ as a habit of life. Not perfect, not sinless, but consistently, the world sees something different about us. Because if they don't see something different about us, friends, the cross is void. We're not representing Him. The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. All of God's representatives are part of one another. Look, friends, I deal with a lot of people, and I hear people, you're talking to people on social media, and you say, hey, won't you come, you know, check out our church or something? Well, I got my pastor. Okay, fine. You know, nobody's trying to take nobody from there. If you're happy at your fellowship, praise God. As long as you're in a Bible teaching church where the Word of God is the final authority and the pastor is submitting to the Word of God as the final authority, you got no problem. But if he's lifting himself up and begging and trying to rape you for money every week, and the ministry is all about how many times, and he seems the pastor played around every 15 minutes in the church, you got a problem with me, because that's not how God's church is ran. God don't pimp out his people. Only Satan does that. Everybody knows that God, you know, the work of God needs financing, but you don't have to pass the plate around 20,000 times a day. But we see the important, friends, the most important thing is that whoever you're sitting up under is advertising Jesus Christ. Can you look at your pastor, your shepherd, and say that your pastor is representing Jesus Christ, not just in the pulpit, but wherever you see him at? Because, see, you got some of these pastors, they only pastors behind the pulpit and in the building. But later on that day, they're going to be the biggest hellions out there in the world. They raising more hell than any sinner. And that's a false advertisement, remember? For if we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. In 1 Corinthians 12:12-14, we read, for as a body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. So he's talking about the body parts, how each, you know, there's one physical body, but my ear is not my hand, my ear is not my fingers, my fingers is not my hand, even though it's attached to it. My hand is not my forearm. My forearm is not my neck. All of these are body parts. But there's only one body. Many members. So when you go to, if you go and visit someone else's fellowship and they're Christians, forget the denomination. I tell you, those are more about contaminating. Forget about that. We're talking about if it's a spirit-filled Bible-teaching church. Yeah, we might have little disagreements on little things of different doctrinal things, but at the center of that church, is it the death, burial, and resurrection? Is the gospel being preached there without compromise, or is the gospel being charged? Are they trying to charge you to get to heaven? If you don't give, you're robbing God. And they got the whip. They got out. Instead of guarding you from wolves, he's the biggest wolf behind the pulpit, because everything he's talking about is money. He ain't talking about holiness. He ain't talking about righteousness. He ain't talking about the sin that's going on in the church and trying to get that leaven out of there. No, he's talking about how to get more money, because he's trying to be like some of these big televangelists. And, you know, if you give, God's going to give you tenfold. Yeah, he might give you tenfold, but what you get probably ain't going to be money. Look, friends, there's a lot of great pastors that teach uncompromising. The gospel is uncompromising. They wrote books and everything, but they're not rich. You know why they're not rich? Because God didn't want them to be rich down here. But they got a mansion waiting for them in heaven. That's what mine is too. That's where I'm ready. I'm not trying to be consumed with the things of the world. I want to be consumed with Jesus Christ. More of him. Make me rich with more of him, more faith. I want to just stay focused, stay in my lane, so I can be used by God wherever he would use me at. God's main product is salvation. Also gives us everlasting life. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We see the most important thing is the gospel. If the gospel is not being represented, you can't buy your way into the kingdom. You and I are not going to get in there with our gold, with our silver. None of that's going to get you into the kingdom, friends. We're only going to get in the kingdom by we must be born again. We must be living a righteous life. Much of the public advertising, which we see on the earth, especially on television, always makes offers of additional gifts which will be given if a person will purchase the main product. Yeah, you ever see those $19.99 offers? But they say, wait. You can get this if you pay a separate shipping cost, or, you know, if you add this, you can get this. Or when you call them, there's something behind the curtain, because next thing you know, it went from $20 to, you know, $30. They will offer you something else behind the scenes. Salvation also comes with several bonus products. Some of them are